Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's our midweek edition. It is Wednesday, the 25th of September, 2012. Home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We are live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com. That's my website, and at the station's website, kvoi.com. And you can hear our programs. We post them to buckmastershow.com. Usually about mid-afternoon, we put the program up. TucsonSentinel.com also has the post, as does TucsonCitizen.com. And the website for the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, that's gvnews.com. They have a link as well to the program. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We will launch today's show with an update on the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority. Then at 20 minutes past the hour, the Civic Orchestra of Tucson is preparing to kick off their 37th season. We will talk about what is at stake in the planning and what lovers of classical music can expect. 30 minutes past the hour, our face-to-face candidate series continues as we welcome the two candidates for Pima County Treasurer. Beth Ford and Elaine Richardson will be with me in studio. We encourage you to join in the conversation at any point during the hour. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, 790-2040, or you can submit questions using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster, parentheses Buckmaster Show. Well, the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority is getting $100,000 from the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Half of that money will go to the study of areas that might be in need for sports facilities, and the other half will be earmarked for operating expenses. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line is Linda McNulty. Linda is the chairwoman for the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority. Linda, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Tell me a little bit about this study, what you're going to be looking at.
As you know, the job of the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority, our volunteer job, is to promote sports and tourism in Pima County. So we're focused on the intersection of those two things, and in particular on sporting activities of a regional impact that could attract people to Tucson and strengthen tourism. Anything that we might develop in Pima County would need to give us a high return on our investment. So we're focused on trying to understand what the best fits are for the Tucson area, what we're good at, what people really want, and what's likely to give the community the greatest return on investment. We've learned over the past few years that youth and amateur sports, that component of our mission, presents opportunities for the tourism sector or of our economy that are really as valuable as professional sports. So we are focusing right now, and have been for the last several months since I became chair, on taking advantage of an opportunity presented to us by two uniquely qualified Tucsonans to do a high-level assessment of work that's already been done, to consider what we need here, and to interview community leaders in municipalities and in the sporting industry about what they feel we need, and to make suggestions about what facilities or programs would be best suited to accomplish our goals in Pima County at the youth, amateur, collegiate, and professional level.
Linda, the authority was created in 2008. It was part of a plan to save Major League Baseball spring training in Tucson. That really didn't happen. Is there something you have to go to the voters? Is there a time frame that you need to go to put before the voters a tax hike?
Yes. One of the things that the Sports Authority has accomplished over the last 4 years is to get the legislature to pass legislation that would give us in Pima County the opportunity to present to the voters a package of sports-related things that would be financed through very small increases in sales tax on mostly on tourism-related businesses. And we would need to do that within 5 years of the passage of the law, so that would give us until 2014 to go to the voters.
Tell me a little bit about this emphasis away from professional sports. We had a question for you on our Facebook page, Linda, saying, is Linda a professional sport baseball fan? Are you a baseball fan?
Yes, I'm a baseball fan. I'm a huge baseball fan. I grew up in Boston.
All right.
So it kind of comes with the territory. And the way I originally got involved in this was out of concern about losing spring training. But the group of people that populates the Sports and Tourism Authority, I would have to say, shares three things in common. They're interested in sports generally. They're interested in economic development for Pima County. And they are community-minded. And it has always been the case that they have been very interested in advancing youth and amateur sports together with professional sports in the county.
Linda McNulty is with us. Linda is the chair of the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority. Are you involved or is the authority involved in this Mexican baseball fiesta, which seems like a really good economic driver that's coming back to Keno Stadium from October 4th through the 7th? Are you involved with that at all?
We are involved in insofar as some of our members are very involved in it. I think it's becoming rapidly becoming one of the best cultural events in Tucson. It's sponsored by the Tucson Padres, and Mike Fader, who is the manager of the Tucson Padres, was formerly our executive director by the Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau. And Vince Trinidad, who's the sports director for MTCVB, is on our board, and also by Desert Diamond Casino.
I mean, this is a real win-win for the community. This brings a lot of business into town.
Yes, I think it does. Last year, there were over 11,000 people from both sides of the border, and I think this year we're expecting something in the neighborhood of 20,000. This year, the fiesta has been expanded to include not only teams from Sonora, Hermosillo, and Obregon, but also teams from Sinaloa, from Mazatlan and Culiacan. And now, we're also getting two minor league teams sponsored by the Padres and the Dodgers.
Well, that should be fun. Baseball fans, I'm sure, will be enjoying that. The weather will be perfect. So when you're going to be looking now with this study, what type of facilities are you going to look at existing facilities and possibly the need for a new facility?
Or new facilities.
Our facilities.
The study will include a look at what we have, at a lot of the important work that's already been done about what we need. For example, the Pima County Bond Advisory Committee has done a lot of work to look at what kind of facilities we need on a recreational level. And we'll talk with municipalities throughout Pima County and with leaders of sporting groups and with economic development folks in each municipality to try and get a sense of how we might develop regional facilities that would promote tourism and also provide sports activities for the county.
I think that the amateur sports, and especially with the amateur soccer, the event that is held over at Fort Lowell in that area has just grown tremendously in January. They need more facilities, I'm sure, for that event, the Fort Lowell Shootout.
That's exactly right, and that's one thing that the study will take a very close look at. We're going to look not only at the sports that all come to mind first, but at a very broad range of sports. We have a lot of unique things in Tucson that folks are doing that present opportunities for us. Soccer may be one of the very best examples, but there are many others as well.
Well, what kind of a tax this probably you're looking at then the November 2014 ballot, is that correct, for the referendum?
Yes, that's correct.
And what kind of a tax increase would we be talking about?
The sales tax would affect attractions, car rentals, hotels, and restaurants. And in each case, the tax would be less than a half of 1%.
So this would not affect folks when this would not be like a sales tax that the citizens would not be paying this directly.
Well, the citizens who buy these things would be paying it directly.
Yeah.
Yes.
But for the general population that didn't use these services, they would not be impacted.
They would be impacted very, very minimally, yes.
You're hiring a sports architecture firm, is that correct? They're going to assess, do the sports facility assessment?
The two firms that will do the assessment are Populous, which is a sports architecture firm, as you say, which has built and designed Olympic venues and other venues like the Marlins Stadium all over the world. One of their principals, Michael Halchuk, actually lives here in Tucson and has offered to do this for us at greatly reduced price in cooperation with the Planning Center, which is also based here in Tucson, and who has a lot of experience in working on planning efforts with folks in Pima County.
Might there be a component, Linda, downtown, some kind of facility downtown?
It's certainly a possibility. The one thing about this study that, and one good thing about having professional planners doing it, is that they understand the need to be totally objective and to go out to the community and ask folks in the community, what do you feel we need, what do you want, and how do you think it would benefit us on a regional basis, and that's what they're going to do.
Okay, Linda McNulty, thank you for updating us about the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Linda McNulty with us on the Buckmaster Show. And once again, that Vamos a Tucson Mexican Baseball Fiesta. This is a very popular event that will be taking place October the 4th through October the 7th. That's going to be at Keno Stadium. The tournament this year has expanded to six teams, four teams from Mexico, as well as the San Diego Padres future stars and the Los Angeles Dodgers future stars. So that's going to be a big event, October 4th through October the 7th. For more information, you can contact the Tucson Padres organization. That's TucsonPadres.com. Coming up now on 1217 on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, we'll be talking about the opening concert and opening concert series for the 37th season of the Civic Orchestra of Tucson. Then coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll meet the two candidates for Pima County Treasurer, Beth Ford and Elaine Richardson will join me in studio. It's the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than two file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA Delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and we're going to take a break from politics to talk about the Civic Orchestra of Tucson. But first, I want to remind everyone about Splendido. Have you been inside Splendido? Well, Oro Valley's all-inclusive community for adults 55 and better. Then, now is your chance. The annual Showcase of Homes event is coming up Tuesday, October the 30th, starting at 9 a.m., and you can RSVP, say you heard about this on the Buckmaster Show, 762-4090. I've had a lot of people say, we really like Splendido sponsoring the program, but we'd like to see what it looks like. Well, now's your opportunity with that open house on October the 30th. More information at SplendidoTucson.com. It's a busy time of the year for the Civic Orchestra of Tucson, launching its 37th season October 6th in Tucson, and then the following day in Sahorita. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Herschel Kreloff, the conductor of the Civic Orchestra of Tucson. Dr. Kreloff, good to see you. How are you?
I'm fine. Bill, how are you?
You're getting ready for the Symphonic Masterpieces, kind of your lead-off concert, Saturday, October the 6th. What do you have in mind? What are you planning for that evening?
Well, this concert is a little bit of a departure from what we've normally done. Actually it's a departure from what a lot of orchestras do, but it has been done before. We're playing two symphonies, and that's all, just two symphonies, two of the representatives from the great symphonic literature. One is a classical symphony by Mozart, and one is a romantic symphony, although it's a 20th century symphony, by Rachmaninoff, and which is a long symphony, the Mozart being shorter, and so the two of them make a nicely balanced concert.
The Rachmaninoff is Symphony number 2 in E minor.
Right.
The Mozart is Symphony number 40 in G minor. Are these difficult pieces for your orchestra? Is it a challenge?
It's a very much a challenge, and it's each of them is a challenge, and each of them is a challenge of a different kind. The Mozart requires a transparent texture. Everything really should be absolutely right. Any little fluctuation in pitch or notes stands out right away. On the other hand, the Rachmaninoff, which is a big, full scored and a very long piece, leaves a lot of room for mistakes to happen without anybody knowing because it's so noisy in places.
Yeah, you have 60-some players. Right. Are you in need of any musicians for this time around?
Well,
it's probably a little late for it is at this point.
It
for
is
the
late, but we could use more string players, more first violins, particularly. And we could use one more trombone, I guess. We have one of the gals who is playing trombone is really sort of filling in. She's actually a violinist in the orchestra normally. So, but otherwise we're well stocked. But we could use a few more players in the strings.
If anyone is listening who would like to join the Civic Orchestra of Tucson, you can go to their website, cotmusic.org, or you would accept a call directly, Dr. Kreloff, correct? Go ahead. Give your phone number out.
529-4046.
529-4046. These are free performances. This orchestra has been performing in Tucson now since 1975. How did you come about to join the orchestra?
Well, I was asked to join the orchestra when George Schwartz, who was the founder of the orchestra, his health was not good at the time. The orchestra was way down in numbers, and they were looking for someone to take over. And George, who I knew from before, because we both played in the Phoenix or in the Tucson Symphony before this time. In fact, we both were at Pima College as well. He asked me to come in and do a rehearsal with the possible expectation that I might be asked to do it permanently. They had several people that had done it before. And so I said, sure, I went and did it. And I had a great time. It was a lot of fun conducting these people who were very willing, even though there were very few in number. And so they asked me to stay on, to come back the next week. And I said, sure, I'd love to do it.
Yeah. Saturday, October the 6th, you will be performing the symphonic masterpieces at 7 o'clock in the evening, the Ascension Lutheran Church. That's at 1220 West McGee Road in Tucson. The following day, Sunday, there'll be an afternoon performance. That will be October 7th, 3 in the afternoon, Saharita District Auditorium at 350 West Saharita Road. And these venues, is it a challenge in these particular venues, or do you get what you want from them pretty much?
Well, each of them in terms of the acoustics is different. And so sometimes it's a surprise, and you have to wonder how you can adjust things while you're conducting a concert to take advantage or diminish the disadvantages of the given place. We prefer to play on a stage that's designed for, you know, music or presentations of that kind, rather than the church. But in this case, the church has adequate space, and we had the last time we played there, we had a very nice audience, mm-hmm. a good audience, and so we thought to again repeat the concert there.
We have a question for you, Ms. Conductor Kreloff. Do you accept musicians of all ages? If there's some very talented young people, are they welcome as well as very talented older people?
Absolutely, we welcome. As a matter of fact, a few years ago, our concertmaster was a teenage girl from Tucson who was educated here and played in various orchestras, and she was so outstanding. She soloed with the orchestra. You know, we have a young artist competition every year, and each year numbers of students audition, up to 40 or 45 players will audition. That is, they will play in a competition, and they will be adjudicated and so forth. And this girl won several times, and I was asking her teacher about someone who could fill in as concertmaster, and he said, well, what about her? And I said, well, yeah, she's a terrific player. Yeah.
Civic Orchestra of Tucson, Symphonic Masterpieces, Symphony No. 40 in G minor by Mozart, then Symphony No. 2 in E minor by Rachmaninoff are the two featured performance. Free admission, Saturday, October 6th, 7 o'clock in the evening, Ascension Lutheran Church on West McGee. The following day, Sahorita District Auditorium, 3 in the afternoon. And for our friends in Green Valley, there will also be a free pre-concert talk. This will be at the Joyner Green Valley Library. That will be Wednesday, October the 3rd at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. For more information, visit cotmusic.org, or Dr. Kreloff will accept your call gladly at 529-4046. Dr. Kreloff, thank you very much. Good luck with the new season.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Coming up, we'll have our face-to-face political conversation. We'll be focusing today on the Pima County Treasurer's race. Want to point out that all of our conversations, we have probably 10 planned so far, will be and are archived at kvoi.com. Coming up, our political debate. Stay with us.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Egypt's new Islamist president says freedom of expression does not allow for attacks on any religion. Mohamed Morsi made his debut today on the global stage at the UN. President Obama accuses Mitt Romney of showing newfound outrage on cracking down on China. Obama and Romney are both in Ohio today, where they have tangled over which man would best prevent manufacturing jobs from being shipped to China. Army soldiers have been ordered to put aside their usual duties and spend tomorrow in suicide prevention training. And the clock may be winding down on the NFL referees' lockout. A deal may be close at hand. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 38 points, the NASDAQ off 25, the S&P 8 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign
to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and today we continue our series of face-to-face conversations with the two candidates running for Pima County Treasurer. Republican Beth Ford is serving in her third four-year term as Pima County Treasurer. Beth is a CPA, and she has served two terms as president of the Arizona Association of County Treasurers. She's also a member of the Arizona State Treasurer's Investment Advisory Board. Democrat Elaine Richardson is a small business owner. Elaine served 10 years in the state legislature, including a year as chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. From 2003 to 2007, she was Arizona Real Estate Commissioner. She is also a former board member of the Arizona-Mexico Commission. Ladies, how are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having us today.
Well, it's a pleasure to have both of you. Let's begin with Beth Ford. Beth, why are you running for another term as treasurer?
Well, as a certified public accountant, I'm qualified for the position. And frankly, I'm not quite done yet. We've done a lot over the years using technology to improve the efficiency for Pima County's treasurer's office. And now I'm working with the other districts, the school districts in Pima County, to try and improve some of their efficiencies by automating their vendor payment processes. And we're also working on developing a data warehouse for our commercial services customers that would be title companies, mortgage companies, some of our tax lien investors, where they can get up to date data anytime they need it.
Elaine Richardson, why did you decide to get into the race?
Well, Bill, I got into the race because I was going to tell you why voters should support me. I feel I'm the only candidate who has been a longtime successful small business person with a tremendous financial background. I'm the only candidate who has been effective and well-respected state legislator. As a matter of fact, I'm in the minority party, and while I was in the state legislature, 90% of my legislation was passed. I refuse to put a partisan angle on any of the work that I do. I'm the only candidate who was real estate commissioner and handled a budget of $3.5 to $4 million with 60 employees. I'm the only candidate who was very instrumental in passing a $6 to $7 billion budget. I am the only candidate that implemented the first online licensing system. I got into this race because I saw a treasurer's office that was very much in need of technological update. My question would be, I respect Ms. Ford, who is there now, but with 12 years of work, working on technological updates, they're just not done. And I see that there's a need. I want to fill that need.
Beth Ford, Elaine was just saying that there's more of a need for technological updates. What do you say to her on that?
Well, I'd like to know what they are, because from what I've heard when I've heard you on the radio, Elaine, the things you've been talking about are either already done, you can't do them, or economically you shouldn't do them. So I'd like some specifics on what you think that we're so far behind technology-wise.
Oh, thank you so much for that question. I think with that one, I'd like to put you on my campaign because I can answer that one very well. We just have to look north to Maricopa County and look at what they're doing there that works very well. For instance, one of the biggest complaints I hear, people want to pay their taxes online with a debit card. A debit card does not cost the taxpayer but $3.
Yeah.
For each transaction. The IRS is able to do it.
Okay, I was just going to say maybe Beth can address these rather than, you know, one at a time.
Certainly.
Go ahead, Beth Ford.
This is one of those you can't or maybe shouldn't. I feel very strongly about not charging my taxpayers to accept their payments. I just think that's wrong. If I'm going to be charging a taxpayer $3 fee to take their debit card online, they might as well put a stamp on the envelope. We do not charge for our electronic payments. Now, when I say they can't, the county attorney's office advised me about taking credit cards because of the merchant fees that are involved. It would be a gift of public monies. Generally, those merchant fees run 2.5%. If you take credit cards online, Visa, MasterCard, these are their rules, require you to charge for every form of payment because they don't want their credit card customers being discriminated against.
Okay, well, I'd like to respond to that, Bill.
Well, I'm not finished yet, Elaine.
I want to try to give you each about a minute and a half to 2 minutes with your responses. And go ahead, Beth.
Even with these merchant fees, after a two-year period of time, we collect 99.5% of the taxes. So it economically doesn't make even any sense, even if we were able to pay that 2.5%.
Okay, Elaine.
Okay, this is a matter of customer choice. We're looking at customer choice for people, again, looking at Maricopa County, we have a system that works very well. If a person chooses to pay their taxes online by debit card or credit card, we should have the technology in place to allow them to do that. People are now coming to me. I'm getting calls, Bill, so many, and they're saying, we're going to be wanting to pay our taxes with our iPad, our iPhone. None of the technology is in place. And yet I do know there is a fund for this very thing. If a person chooses not to pay the additional 2.3% or $3 if it's a debit card, they should have a choice to do that. This is a market-based economy. And by not allowing customer choice, we're doing a disservice to the taxpayer. If you look at Maricopa County, I talked to the treasurer there and the former treasurer, and it seems the idea is that our current treasurer seems to have, to quote, a strange resistance to anything that's changed. We are allowed to do that. If we need enabling legislation, then we need to go to Phoenix and get enabling legislation to help the taxpayer. This is about the taxpayer. Bill, it is their government. It is not our government. And one person should not be allowed to not give a customer choice.
And that was Democrat Elaine Richardson. And now here is Republican Beth Ford. Are you against what are you hearing this about?
I'm against charging taxpayers to pay me. That's what I'm against. And that's what we'd have to do. And this enabling legislation has nothing to do with it. It's Visa, MasterCard's rules. And if they ever come up with a tax plan, which they do have, specific tax plan, which at least allows you to charge a rate for the credit cards, which are much more expensive than debit or ACH, but they still require you to charge. And I just think that's wrong. If you want to use your debit card, we can take those in the office. An electronic check works basically the same way. I do not have to charge for it. And if you need to charge on a credit card because you're short of cash, most credit cards give you credit checks, and you can write one of those checks out, and we do accept those.
Well, and Elaine also said that she spoke with the treasurer up in Maricopa County, mm-hmm. who indicated you were against change. Did I characterize that?
One of the Maricopa County treasurers, not the current one.
Oh, well, not the current. Okay.
Well, I'd like to know which one that would be.
And I will tell you.
That's
but not
fine.
On the air.
Oh, okay.
No, we've been bleeding edge for a long time, and in fact, my being elected two terms as the affiliate president for our association shows the kind of leadership that I've provided to the group.
Elaine Richardson.
Being elected two terms, there has not been one piece of legislation brought forth. There has not
That's incorrect,
been one,
Elaine.
I'm sorry. I thought we weren't interrupting each other.
I'm sorry.
There has not been, by this treasurer's office, there has not been one piece of one stakeholders meeting that has been called. And I'm going to go back to the debit and credit card issue. We have many people that live out of state. They have out-of-state homes. These are people that I am hearing from. They would very much like to have the choice of paying their taxes online.
Elaine, I want then Beth Ford to respond to you. You were saying that is not true.
About legislation,
Beth Ford, about
yes.
The legislation. I want you to have your
I've served as – there's an affiliates group from the Arizona Association of Counties for Treasurers, and I've been their legal liaison and pushing legislation through. Last year was the first year that the treasurer's office did not have – the Treasurer's Affiliates Office did not have legislation presented. Every other year, our legislation has been passed, and we have several bills that we're going to be putting forth through legislation this year.
This seems like a natural time to take a break here. We are listening to Democrat Elaine Richardson and Republican Beth Ford. This is The Buckmaster Show. Our face-to-face candidate series will continue right after this.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program is brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Oh, it's so beautiful over there this time of year. The Pinos Altos October Fiesta is October the 6th. So much going on. Lots of good places to stay, including Pinos Altos Cabins, Silver City KOA, and Burrow Mountain Homestead RV Park, all in the Silver City area. For more information, log on to Silver City Grant County, and you can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. We are in the midst of our face-to-face political debates here on the Buckmaster Show. Today, we are focusing on the Pima County Treasurer's race. Beth Ford is with me, Republican incumbent, and Elaine Richardson is the challenger, the Democrat. And we'll begin now with Beth Ford. Beth, is there something that you would like to ask your opponent? And I'll also combine that with what's been said about you that you'd like to set the record straight on.
Well, I think we kind of –
kind of two-part question there.
I'll answer the second part first, because I think we've already addressed that as far as the technology goes and the reasons why you don't have certain things that are available on our website. The question that I have for you, Elaine, you talk about your financial expertise. Where did you graduate from school and what did you get your degree in? Where are your financial credentials?
Okay, Beth, I'm very happy you asked me that question. I'll say it this way. Experience, according to Aldous Huxley, is not what you have but what you do with what you have. I was graduated from Bristol High School, fourth in my class. Circumstances did not allow me to go to college for a full four-year term, but what I did do was I have taken many classes. For a seven-year period, I worked in an organization where I had a mentor who was one of the top financial industrialists in this country. I learned financial expertise and I learned business. However, I took what I had and I have made a life for myself and my children with my financial expertise. You cannot be a small business owner making a payroll. I could not have been a commercial real estate broker. I could not have been a business broker selling businesses and being very successful at each one. I could not have worked in the Arizona legislature very active on a budget without financial expertise. I could not run a state agency if I did not have financial expertise. Because my education is not, as you say, formal, I will say that I will match my expertise, my investments, and I have been an investor, still am, with anyone's that is next to me.
Okay, that was Beth Ford's question to you, Elaine Richardson. Elaine Richardson, your question to Beth Ford, and if there's something that you'd like to set the record straight, two-part question, if you'd like to take it.
Yeah, well, the first thing I'd like to set the record straight, I don't mind my opponent attacking me professionally, but personally, I will not stoop to that level. And I've been hearing things that we can discuss later, but that's not the most important thing. My question to my opponent, your issue is that you have a CPA. And my issue is you do have a CPA, and I commend you for that. But why is your technology so behind in your office? And if you say it isn't, that's fine. However, you have people answering your phone who have said to people right on my campaign, we are 2 to 3 years behind in technology. Why did tax bills go out incorrectly this year, where some people received tax bills that should have gone to the mortgage companies and did not?
All right. Beth Ford.
Okay. Elaine, I'm really getting tired of your unsubstantiated allegations because we're not 2 or 3 years behind, and I'd like to know who the person was in my office that made those comments. Now, this is about the third time you've made an allegation that's not been founded. You won't say who the comments are coming from or anything else regarding it, okay? This job is deals with technical expertise in the financial area. You need to understand governmental accounting standards. It requires that formal level of education. You need to understand the fixed income institutional market and what those investments mean, how to calculate your duration, where your risk is, and all those reporting requirements. The fact that we've had two treasurers in this state that have been suspended simply because they did not have that formal understanding demonstrates why it's so important to have that level of expertise.
Beth, I'm really surprised at what you're saying, but you're making an assumption that I do not have that expertise, but I do. I could not have had the experience that I have had without having more than that expertise. As a matter of fact, one day you were talking about a fixed asset being a stock, which, of course, we know that is not. But going back to what I was saying, you may say that you have technology in place. The bottom line is you cannot pay a tax online with a credit card. You cannot get an e-bill. People have asked for budget billing. You will not do it. People have asked to pay their taxes quarterly. That cannot be done. Okay. The technology is not in place. You can say what you want. The fact is it is not there.
I'm going to give Beth Ford now about 40 seconds to respond to that.
We don't need to have e-billing. All you need to go do is go to our webpage, and you can pull your statement down at any time you need it. So we don't need to have the cost of maintaining e-billing addresses. We have about a 5% return rate on mailings anyway. And it's not the treasurer's office that does the billing. It's the Board of Supervisors. We obtain the information about who has a mortgage and who doesn't from the mortgage companies themselves. I think that's the most reliable source that we could use.
I understand what you're saying, but I disagree with you on the e-billing. If you were allowed online licensing, you could capture that information. Again, we're going back to customer choice. Customers should have a choice of having e-billing. The one thing that we have not addressed, which is the most important and one I had really wanted to talk about,
real quickly, please,
is the lack of sending a proper notice. There are people at risk of losing their homes that are coming to me. I'm getting calls, quite a few, mm-hmm. who have been put on that slippery slope to foreclosure because they did not get a delinquency notice. If that could have been done in a manner, okay. if the technology was up to date and they could be informed that they were delinquent, they would not be on that slippery slope.
Delinquency notices, Beth Ford?
Delinquency notices are mailed according to statute, and there is a timeline calendar that we have to follow that's in statute as far as when notices are mailed, and it starts with the assessor's office. And it's really not fair to be scaring people that are delinquent on their taxes. Last year we had 46 foreclosures. Most of those were for vacant property and strips, not people's homes.
And I'm hearing quite a different story. I don't think it's a scare tactic at all.
Well,
I think, this brings up a very good point. According to statute, yes, I will say the treasurer, the current treasurer, is following the statute no more. I would certainly do more so that we could have more timely notices than once a year. So if a person were delinquent, they would know that within 30 days. That is done by the electric company, gas company, Macy's, every other company. It should be done by the largest financial institution in Pima County to the benefit of taxpayers.
I think we actually will begin closing statements right here, about a minute or so each of you. And I began in alphabetical order with Beth Ford. So Elaine Richardson, Democrat for Pima County Treasurer, you're up right now. Go ahead, Elaine.
Okay. I'll say a statement about myself. Since arriving in Tucson in 1973 with $700 and two small boys, I built a life and helped build a community. From my position in Tucson at the Pima County Attorney's Office to small business owner to real estate investor to commercial and business broker to owning my own real estate company and to becoming an effective state senator and Arizona's real estate commissioner, I am very proud of my achievements and accomplishments. I feel I have been a professional success in every way. I will bring the same entrepreneurial drive and innovation to the Pima County Treasurer's Office with the ultimate goal of making the best possible use of taxpayers' money. I have fresh eyes. I have fresh ideas. I deliver. I will not forget the taxpayer and investor and make life a little bit easier for them.
That is Elaine Richardson. And your website?
My website is www.richardsonfortreasurer.com.
And now here's Pima County Treasurer Beth Ford.
I'm Beth Ford. I am a certified public accountant, and I'm the only one that has the financial credentials to do this job. I've been doing this job for the last 12 years. Every year I've been able to return at least 15% of my budget back to the taxpayers by gaining the efficiency through technology. I'm the only candidate that has this financial expertise. We've ended up having an investment pool that consistently returns yields in excess of our benchmarks. And every dollar that we earn off of investments is a dollar that doesn't need to be earned through your taxes. I think I have proven over the last 12 years that I'm efficient and responsible elected official that has improved service to our taxpayers. And I ask the voters for it in another 4-year term.
And Beth Ford, your website, if folks would like more information?
It's www.fordreasurer.com. FordForTreasurer.com.
Beth Ford, Elaine Richardson, thank you very much. Elaine Richardson, Democrat for Pima County Treasurer. Beth Ford, Republican for Pima County Treasurer. Thank you both very much. And I want to point out that all of our face-to-face debates here on the Buckmaster Show are being archived. It's very listener-friendly at kvoi.com. And we will have Frank Antonori and David Bradley together. That's the LD10 state Senate race. That is coming up tomorrow. And the podcasts are available, of course, at our website as well. That's buckmastershow.com. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water, the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. What is it about Culligan water? Well, folks, it simply tastes better. Coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon, 4 to 5, it's the John C. Scott Show. And then 6 to 8 tomorrow morning, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. I am Bill Buckmaster. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back with you tomorrow. And again, we will start things off with Frank Antonori and David Bradley, LD10 state Senate candidates. Have a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.